before one has, and so we'll start with the one that has. That's Senate Bill 978, which, as members will recall, is the bill that provides for a tax equity program. Had considerable discussion with members of this committee regarding this program and with members outside of the committee and the leadership. And I would like to propose that the committee delete that part of the bill that deals with amnesty, which is sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the bill. Retain the portions of the bill which deal with increased penalties for non-filing and filing frivolous returns, abusing tax shelter practices, and making excessive withholding claims. And the rest of the part of the bill that deals with penalties and enforcement, and then move the bill to the floor, rescinding the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chairman, we're in work session.
Yes, we're technically in work session on 9:30.
Mr. Chairman, okay. I would just like to,
Representative McCarty?
We have the TEFRA, which was the teeth bill, that contained most of this information, I believe. Why do we have to duplicate in such harsh terms this enforcement? I don't understand.
The state is not tied to the federal enforcement provision.
No, but we don't need it. We can enforce ours through anything that the federal picks up. This is going to make a bigger bureaucracy in here as far as enforcement, which we don't need. Let the federals do this work. There's no necessity for us to go out there looking for work. All we have to do is pick it up right off the feds. What we're doing is make a Gestapo in the state of Oregon rather than the United States IRS. The IRS is the toughest. They can make or break presidents. So, you're giving them too much power.
Representative Schoon?
Mr. Chair, I move the amendments as you propose to delete the amnesty.
Okay. Do we have amendments printed, LC?
Yes,
amendments?
They should follow your bill. They're in the bill.
Which are dash two. The dash two amendments.
Okay, Representative Schoon moves the dash two amendments. Do you want to discuss that, Representative Schoon? Or is...
I believe that the sense of the committee is that, at least in our talks, that it was the bill would be acceptable by if the amnesty provisions were deleted, and that if we rescinded the referral to Ways and Means. And so that's the reason I moved the amendments.
Representative Fugo?
Two questions. One, I guess first is a comment to staff. Representative McCarty was mentioning TEFRA. It seems to me that the only thing we're tied to in federal law as far as taxation is the definition of income.
Yes.
And we're not tied to their enforcement policies or practices at all. Is that correct?
Yes.
Second question to the chair. What section of the bill prompted the original Ways and Means referral, and how we deleted that?
I believe there was no individual section of the bill that prompted a Ways and Means deferral, but Steve, maybe you can indicate that. I think it was that the reason for the subsequent referral to Ways and Means was because of the funding portion that was proposed to add additional staff to the Department of Revenue. If we pass this bill, it changes the law regarding the penalties and the relationships between state agencies and other and people who are delinquent taxpayers and those kind of issues. It does not require the department to add any additional staff or have a fiscal impact, so that this bill will give the department the additional authority which they can exercise if Ways and Means decides to fund additional people. That's another issue. Steve?
I'd like to bring to your attention the amendments omitted one change that you may want to make. On page 12 of the bill, for the effective dates.
Wait a minute now. Is that additional material to the amendments?
Yes, it would be additional to the dash two.
Why don't we adopt dash two if the committee wants to do that? Then we'll start with additional material.
Okay.
Is there any objection to the adoption of dash two? Okay. Representative McCarty objects. Kim, would you call the roll? The motion is to adopt the amendments 978-2, the effect of which is to delete sections 1 through 7 of the bill. We had adopted some earlier amendments, I recall, due to some concerns that have been raised by the PUC. Those are already adopted.
Wait, Mr. Chairman, is dash 2 just deleting the amnesty? That's all it is?
That's what it does.
Okay, I have no objection.
Okay, Representative McCarty withdraws his objection. Is there any other objection? Dash 2 is adopted.
Mr.
Now,
Chair.
Remind me, Steve, did we adopt some department amendments?
I don't think we did.
Yes, we did.
We did?
Okay.
All right. Can I need to do two different things here. In adopting the dash 2, when they were drafted, it was overlooked that some of the effective dates for the penalties were to start after the January 22nd, 1988 date, which was the end of the amnesty period. Everything else started on the effective date of the act. You may want to take those two January 22 reference dates out and make all of the penalties effective.
Hey, where would we do that?
Right, that's in section 29, page 12, line 39. You delete the January 22 date and insert the effective date of the act. And also then on line 43.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern?
I would so move.
Representative Trahern moves that on line 39, the date January 22nd, 1988 be deleted and the effective date of the act be substituted. And on line 43, the January 22nd, 1988 be deleted and the effective date of the act be substituted. Any objection to that? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jones?
Maybe this is the right time to discuss. In reference to Representative McCarty's concerns, I recall testimony that with the expenditure of an additional $400,000, we would be able to gain, as I recall, and maybe you can correct me, Steve, if I'm wrong, we were looking at $2.8 million, was that correct, that we would be able to gain if, in fact, they were spending $400,000? That was their estimate without the amnesty program. I have a note that is not clear enough to me, and I'm trying to recall.
Okay. The department estimated that they would want $460,000 for administering the amnesty program. And that $460,000 was to, by their estimate, raise about $8.7 million. The remaining portion of the $36 million increase in revenue was to come from spending another about a little over $4 million to hire additional auditors and collection people.
Mm-hmm.
Is the department here?
No.
I don't see them.
But there's nothing in this bill that would give them the money to do either.
Well, this, as I understand, the staff allocation or the money to pay staff is part of the budget process that could be accomplished with other vehicles. So this does not necessarily need to go. But your figures are different than what I remember. That's why the total expenditure that they were planning for in relationship to this program, including the amnesty program, was how much?
About 4.9, I believe.
Million?
Yes, for the biennium. $4,857,670.
Okay.
Of which $461,000 was for the amnesty program.
Okay. Maybe my figures are incorrect. I was trying to get a feel on what the new penalties, if they did not have the amnesty program, how much they were estimating they would be able to recapture in terms of revenue that was not related to the amnesty program, but would be able to be accomplished if they were able to increase their enforcement, and that's what I was looking at.
Right. Their comment yesterday, and the way I interpreted it, was that if they had the $460,000 to spend for personnel and auditors, collection people, instead of spending it to administer the amnesty program, that they could raises about as much as they would expect from the
from
amnesty,
the amnesty program itself. No. Okay, that's the 400.
That was their initial reaction. 000. They may well have rethought
that. That's okay. That's what I was looking for.
Okay, further questions or discussion?
Yes, Chair.
Representative Fair.
Let me express a concern, and that's with Section 13. We did do some amendments to Section 13, which I think took out the last sentence of the first paragraph and made it comply with Oregon tax laws. But I guess the concern is that any person that's applying to any agency for issuance or renewal of any kind of a license, basically to conduct business, is going to have to certify under the penalty of perjury that they've complied with all Oregon tax laws. And recognizing that an awful lot of people in this state are licensed in one way or another, it seems a little redundant to require them to do this certification all the time. And also recognizing in my mind that they have to do that when they file this kind of a certification when they file their tax return. And that's really where I think it should be. So the whole concept there, even though we've amended it and cleaned it up a little bit, is still bothersome to me. And I don't know, maybe we can get a little discussion if it bothers others.
Further comments and questions? Representative Jones.
Mr. Chair, is this not the section that the PUC was concerned about in relationship to other state laws and the PUC permits and so forth that they issue? But you're looking at the issue from a broader perspective. Do we already require this in the law? Do we require this kind of information on the form that people now sign for a form
for licensing
of some kind? You know,
there's to my knowledge, there's nothing under current licensing law that would require them to say that they have complied with all tax laws.
I wonder why we're doing this now.
This section is doing a couple of things. One is asking the taxpayer when he applies for a license to say that he has complied with Oregon tax law. Two is giving the Department of Revenue the authority to go to the licensing agencies and basically ask for samples of names of people who have applied for licensing and be able to cross-check that information with who has filed with the department to try to find those who are licensed but have not filed returns.
Such as business license and things of that nature. Does the IRS, the department now go to cities and counties in relationship to their business license and request that information?
No, not to my knowledge. As far as I know, they do not now get computer tapes, for example, from the Department of Commerce for everyone who has to be licensed through the Department
of Commerce.
Do not
or do?
One of the things that this bill does is say that the Department of Commerce has to get a federal tax ID number on their information so that there is a number that the department can match up on for comparison.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Traynor.
I really don't mind them being able to check those licenses and cross-reference. That's not the concern I've got. I do think, though, that the requirement for this certification is going to require a lot of reprinting on a number of different application forms and could be, you know, relatively expensive to force those forms to be changed. Let me try a conceptual motion, if I could, and I would move that we delete the portion which requires them to certify on their license application, whatever kind of license that might be, that they've complied with all Oregon tax law, but leave in the portion that allows the department to cross-reference with those licenses and license applications, because I think that's necessary if they're going to enforce the law.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hugo?
Yes, Representative Traynor, on that conceptual motion, there are two parts to this thing, two major parts. But one is, when I apply for renewal of my business license, I've got to certify that I'm in compliance. Second one is, if I am attempting to bid to do work for a state agency, then I have to certify that I'm complying. your objection with the first, the second, or both?
Mr. Chair, I hadn't really thought about the second, but I suppose if we're not going to do it on the first, I don't know why we should on the second.
Mm. Well, Mr. Chair, I would concur with Representative Trader's conceptual amendment on the first. I think he's right that the important part of this bill is to allow Department of Revenue to go into the licensing agency to cross-reference licenses. I don't see any great benefit being served by having a licensee certified under perjury that when he applies licensees comply with the law. However, on sub 2 of section 13, if I'm attempting to do business with the state, I think it is just for the state.
As amended.
As amended, yeah. I think I would want to have someone certify to me that I'm complying with all tax laws, just from the simple fact that someone who's not complying or evading may have an unfair competitive advantage over those who may be in compliance. So I would support the motion on deleting that last line of section 13 sub 1. No license shall be issued or renewed unless such certification is made. I think that should be stricken.
Well, should we try,
Mr. Chair?
Should we try this in pieces?
Mr. Chair, I think that Representative Hugo's arguments are somewhat persuasive, and that would not bother me. I think he's right that if they're trying to do business with the state, probably they should be complying, and that's no big problem. So let me try it with just the portion on the license application.
So this would be a motion on page 3 to delete sub 1 of what used to be section 13. Is that what we're talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Representative Trahern moves that on page 3 of the bill, we delete the material in lines 38 through 41 except for the section reference and renumber the rest of the sections. Yeah, but we renumber sub 2 and 3 and so on through is now section 7, used to be section 13. Is there any objection to that motion?
Wait, what's the second motion?
The motion is to delete the material on lines 38 through 41 except for the section reference on page 3 and to renumber the rest of the sections. The effect of that motion is to not require people who are applying for licenses to certify that they have complied with state tax laws, but will require people who are entering into contracts with state agencies for the purpose of providing goods, services, or real estate to certify that they have complied. Are we tracking now?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon?
As a part of that, friendly part of that motion, wouldn't one wish to add at line 44 and insert the word between all and tax Oregon?
We've done that.
Have we done
that? We did that at our last meeting.
I know that we did it on up above on line 40.
Yes, we did that in both places. Okay, is there any objection to the motion? Anything else on Senate Bill 978? Steve, do you have some more technical corrections now that we're moving fast through this material?
When you inserted State of Oregon in Section 13, I think you to eliminate any reference to local government taxes collected by the department, you may want to go up in Section 12 in the definition section and under in line 27 on page 3 under agency, delete the language that starts with or in line 28 or any political subdivision of the state that imposes a local tax administered by the Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in line 37, delete and any local taxes administered by the Department of Revenue to make clear that there is no application of this to local government, even though their tax laws may be administered by the department.
Sir, is that okay with everybody?
So move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Schoon moves that on page 3, line 28, we insert a period after the word state, delete the rest of that line, and delete line 29. And on line 37, we insert a period after the 310.690 and delete the rest of the line. Does that do the job?
Yes.
Is there any objection? So ordered. Anything further?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern?
I guess if we're ready, I would move.
Wait a minute. I'd like, you know, Section 17, you know, that's.
Let's get Representative Trahern here.
Okay, go ahead.
Representative Trahern?
I was going to go ahead and move the bill.
Oh.
If you wanted to amend it further, why?
Well, we make a motion then.
Let's make the motion.
Okay, I move Senate Bill 978 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And the recommendation that the committee, subsequent referral to Ways and Means be rescinded.
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Trahern has moved 978 to the floor with due pass recommendation and the recommendation the subsequent referral be rescinded. Now, to your motion, Representative Trahern.
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, we've amended the bill to do what I think the majority of the committee wants to do, and I think it's time to get it gone.
Okay, is there further discussion on the motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I really don't think you need either Section 15 or 17. I think, you know, God, when's Big Brother going to stop? You know, they have everything. Give a person a chance to be a human being, you know? Be a citizen. You don't need all these harsh penalties, and you don't need all these, you know, if they rely on the gold standard. People believe in anti-war, and, you know, why should you use a tax system to crucify them? Why don't you just take them out and shoot them then, people who disagree with them? Hell, it'd be faster and easier. You take away their property, you take away their civil liberties, you take everything through a tax system. This is not right. My God, when is Big Brother going to stop is a basic question. And if you keep putting these things in, you're going to have a Gestapo system that'll make Hitler look like a biker.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jones.
Maybe staff can tell us, is the language in this bill considerably more onerous or different than the language used in other statutes in other states or comparison with the feds?
I doubt if it's more onerous. I would say that it's probably modeled after the feds and possibly other states. But again, I wasn't involved enough in the drafting process to know that for sure. The department drafted the bill.
Sam McCarty?
Mr. Chairman, this is probably federal regulation all the way. You know, there's plenty federal regulations out there to prevent, to deter, to do anything you want. Why should you make a double jeopardy here? Why do we have to go along with a Gestapo system that just won't quit? I don't understand that. It's not needed by our state. You don't need a Gestapo state. You don't need all these laws.
Well, I think we'll give you the opportunity, if this motion passes, to make that speech to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Second time those words have been used to refer to a state agency. The other one was CSD.
I used it.
No, you did not.
No, you didn't. Other people have. I think that we can state our views here. Personally, I don't like to characterize state agencies, but that's the...
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm characterizing the law and the agency. And there's a world of difference between giving a person a big slug or a big stick that's going to kill somebody and saying he's a killer.
Okay.
And this is giving him a big stick.
Chair, I call the question.
Representative Hugo, we ask that we proceed to a vote. Is there any objection to that? Kim, would you call the roll?
Are you going to vote?
No.
The motion is to send Senate Bill 978 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a recommendation that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Representative Hanlon?
Aye.
Representative
Hugo? Aye. Representative Jones?
Aye.
Representative McCarty?
No.
Representative
Trahern?
Aye.
Representative
Calori?
Representative Gold?
Aye.
Representative Skoen?
Aye.
Representative
Hostica? Aye. Motion's adopted.
Representative McCarty, do you want to carry this?
Yes. Yes. Love to. I volunteer.
Okay, now we're going to show you why we need this bill, Representative McCarty. We're going to turn to Senate Bill 920. And we're going to ask Senator Brenneman to come up and talk about Senate Bill 920. And if there's anybody else signed up on the sign-up sheet, Senate Bill 920 is a bill which was originally introduced to try to accomplish some benefits or reduce the impact on people who come to Oregon for a short period of time to make movies of our, to reduce the impact of our tax system. The original bill would have exempted those people from having to go through the whole process of setting up a system of withholding and to have withholding taxes, or their taxes withheld. The bill was amended in the Senate to grant an outright exemption of those taxes. There has been considerable resistance to the idea of granting an outright exemption, and Senator Brenneman has some proposed solution to that problem that he would like to share with us now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I really appreciate the fact that you're allowing this bill to be worked on in the late hours of the session, and you've said that very well. And there was a provision in the Senate version that allowed a four-year sunset. I forgot to probably mention that before in case it wouldn't work. I don't know how much you want to discuss this issue. I'm prepared to say quite a little bit about it or nothing much at all. If any of you don't have the amendment, I understand. Some of you, I tried to pass out the amendments to you the other day individually. Some of you hand them back to me, and I do have a couple of more copies here. But essentially what it does, it goes, 920A-3 goes right back to the original form of the bill, which would give an exemption on withholding. That will help. The movie and film board, video board, want the outright exemption in order to compete up front with the 23 other states that now exempt.
The effect of the amendments would be to delete Section 2. But
there's a hand engrossed version some of you have, too. And pardon, Mr. Chairman?
The effect of that is to delete Section 2 and to subject the Section 2 of the A engrossed version.
On page 1 of printed A engrossed bill, line 2, delete ORS 316.127, and on page 2, delete lines 14 through 44, and delete page 3.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hanlon?
So moved.
Okay, Representative. Okay. Yeah, Representative Hanlon moves the amendments, which would be on line 2 of A engrossed Senate Bill 920, delete the reference to ORS 316.127, and then delete the word "and." And on line on page
following them,
line 2 is the relating clause of page 1 of the bill. So we delete the reference to 316.127, and we delete the word "and." Then, starting on page 2, line 14, we delete the rest of the bill. That's deleting all the material starting on line 14 of page 2 and all of page 3. The effect of that is to subject those people to taxes, but not to require that they go through the process of applying for and administering the withholding system. Representative Brenneman?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hanlon made that motion. Senator Brenneman?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't identify myself before for the records. John Brenneman, Senate District 2. You asked me the other day what we did last time and why didn't it work. In a real short word, it was still double withholding. But it was simplified, the fact that you could attach your withholding to your filing you did in the other state and send it to our Department of Revenue, as I understand, and it did simplify things, but it still didn't do what we needed to have done.
So this moves us a little bit more in the...
This will keep a person coming from the state of California from being withheld in California and Oregon both, and then waiting to go through the process of getting... credits back or withheld wages back.
Okay. And since we just passed another bill out to the floor, which will increase the penalties and powers and abilities to try to enforce some of that, you think there's a chance we might collect some of those taxes?
That'd be up to the department, I'd guess. Okay. But the department feels that this will probably, I should point out to you, I did some of you, that this will probably have the same effect as the Senate version.
Okay, that's on the record. So, is there any objection to the motion? Motion being to delete Section 2 and to change the relating clause to reflect the deletion of the reference to ORS 316127. Any objections? No objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Traherne?
I'm looking at the original bill. I'm assuming that your amendments put us back to where the original bill was. The original bill had a Section 2 which said that this applied to tax years beginning after December 31, 1987. I think the new amendment said January 1, 1988. Either way, the fact is that it doesn't go into place until next tax year, or until next year.
Do we need to add that?
And Mr. Chair, my motion would be to not add that, but to in fact put it, if it's possible, if staff can come, it's possible to put an emergency clause on it, get it in effect right away.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative,
may I speak?
Senator.